If you're here today and you're lost, have you on my heart. I pray that the Lord give us something to say today that might be a help to you. I want to read some very familiar scripture. Used a verse of this scripture last week for a text, and I'm going to use one. I think it's right below that. Today to base your thought on and need your prayers. Romans chapter 10. This is often used, Romans chapter 10, to the modern world today or modern churches today would use this to take you down to what they call the Roman road to try to deceive you and get you to simply accept Christ. And I believe Christ has to accept us. And I believe you need to hear the Word and trust in the Word and believe that He's the Savior and believe you're a sinner. But when it comes to accepting, He does the accepting. And I don't want nobody to misunderstand us today. I don't mind to tell you, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I say that, and I always say I believe it, and I do. But you got to come His way. And if you'll call on the name of the Lord and come His way, you shall be saved. Amen. And we want to try to back that up today and try to show that if you'll come His way, you can be saved. And I believe that. I don't believe He's no respecter of person. I believe that all call on Him coming in under His conditions shall be saved. It says in the 8th verse, we could read all of it, but we're just going to start here in the 8th verse. It said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we have preached. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And I believe that just like it said. "For with the heart a man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? For so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto all the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses say, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." And I pray today that we don't stretch forth our hand to a disobedient and again, saying, people, I pray today that you would hear what the Lord has laid upon her heart. As I done mentioned in the 13th verse, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, Paul is a quote in Joel here. And in the second chapter of Joel, we'll go over and take to the text. Brother Larry read this morning in our hearing in the second chapter of Acts, Peter quoted the same thing there in the 2:21. He quoted Joel, and this happened on the day of Pentecost when they accused him of being drunk. And Peter quoted Joel over there, Joel had told him in the second chapter. And oftentimes we use this, the second chapter of Joel, looking at the last days and the end days, but he used it here to do with the day of Pentecost and the things that went on here, and that's what Peter told him about. But Joel said it in a little different way. He said they'd be delivered. And he, in the 32nd verse of the second chapter, he said, and it shall come to pass, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And delivered simply means saved. And it says, for in Mount Zion in Jerusalem shall it be a deliverance, and the Lord hath said, and he hath in the raiment whom the Lord shall call. Now, I want you to understand something today. There's different kind of callings. I believe you're going to have to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. But listen, I believe there's a call God does. There's a call to repentance. And I want you to realize there's a call, I believe, to become a church member. I believe he leads by the Word and by the Spirit in that. I also believe there's calls to be preached. There's different, all different kind of calls. But it says here that the Lord shall call them, and I want you to know that's part of whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm still one believes if God don't deal with you, it's going to be hard for you to be saved. I want to try to take my time today. Amen. I want to try to prove what we got to say. Amen. I believe the Lord knows today. He knows your heart. I believe many are called, but few are chosen. I believe he come for whosoever. That's what it says there in Joel. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believes shall be saved. So it's whosoever thing. It's whosoever. But listen to me. When God deals with you, that's the time to seek the Lord. And that's the time you can be saved. And I want you to realize today, and I pray you realize, each time that God deals with you and you push that aside, you're pushing away salvation. You're pushing away God and His plan for you. If He's dealing with you, He's wanting you to come. And you're going to push that away one too many times one of these days. And there's some here that have just been coming recently. And I maybe never even heard the gospel before. And I want to be real plain today and try to take my time. I want you to, you may say, I don't understand what I've got to do to be saved. I want to be saved, but I don't understand what I've got to do. I pray today that God will help us for you to be able to understand what you must do to be saved. Amen. And I may have to do a lot of reading. I can quote these things. I can quote most of this, but and I will quote some. I won't go and just bore you to death for reading. But it says in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said this. No man, in John chapter 6 and 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's part of the call, God drawing you unto him. What is he drawing you to? He's drawing you to a place of repentance. He is letting you know that you're guilty in his sight. How does he do that? He does it through the Holy, the Spirit of God comes in and lets you know, and it also through the Word of God. They both work together. When you hear the preaching or somebody testify, some good old sister, I'm one that believes that you can hear about Jesus through anybody. But you can, some old sister may get up and testify and talk about what God's done for you. And then that you realize what, I've heard this over and over, I knew I didn't have what they had. And I was the same way. I'd see people shout and testify and cry and get tore all to pieces. And I'm thinking, I don't have that. And I didn't understand. I want you to know that's when God begins to draw you to that and let you know you don't have it. That's part of the drawing to a place of repentance. You must also realize that you're guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us here today is a sinner. Some of us have just been saved by God's grace, but you're guilty of Jesus Christ dying and hanging on a cross for your sins, and you must realize that. And when you begin to realize these things, and that godly sorrow sets up in your heart. Over in Corinthians, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, maybe around the 10th verse. I can't remember for sure, but it says, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. I want you to know it takes godly sorrow. You've got to see that you're guilty and understand you're guilty. When I used to go up to jail and preach, I seen a lot of them up yonder had worldly sorrow. They were sorrow that they got caught. They were sorry they was in jail. They were sorry that what they'd done. But I want you to know that kind of sorrow will not save you. It's got to be godly sorrow. Realizing that you've sinned against the mighty God. You're guilty of His Son dying on a cross for your sins. And when that begins to set up in you, that is a drawing. That is a calling from God. God is trying to set you apart. He is trying to make you one of His own. And when you feel that deep down in you and you realize, yes, I'm guilty. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, I'm guilty. And hell is going to be my home. For what? That is the punishment of the sin, of the guilt of Jesus dying for your sin and you not repenting. The failure of repentance. David said, and I believe in the 31st chapter of the Psalm, he said, I know I quote it, but I want to read some of the stuff to you. I don't want to get in too big of a hurry and just go through it too fast. Listen, the 34th chapter of Psalm, he said, the Lord is nigh to them with a broken heart and save as such as a contrite spirit. And a contrite means crushed. I mean, I'm talking about today the people want to say just chew chewing gum and smile, come up and it's simply accept Christ, say you believe, and honey, the preacher will tell you you're okay. They'll baptize you and all fine and good. But listen to me, they're deceiving them left and right. I want you to know you must have a broken heart and you must have a crushed spirit. You must realize what you are in the sight of God. Honey, the night I got saved, I was broken. I sought the Lord different times. I tried crying. I tried all kinds of different things. But listen to me, it didn't do me no good. But the night I got saved, I was crushed. I didn't have nowhere else to go. And I'll be honest with you, at some point or another, you was crushed too. That's part of it. You've got to have a calling from God. You've got to have been drawn from God. And that through how that happens is through the preaching of the word, the testifying of the church. I want you to realize that through the Holy Spirit of God. They said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I used to say it's the only way it comes. But I believe it's also through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Him convicting you. He'll draw you to a place. It said, what did it say? And it says it. And how shall they call and whom they have not believed? Before they could even call, they had to believe something. Is that not true? You tell me I'm wrong. It says it. It said, how can they call on whom they have not believed? I want you to know, if you've never heard nothing about Him, you can't call on Him. Honey, you got to, that's the only thing I believe that we can receive is the gospel. We've got to open our heart up and let the seed come in there and fall on good ground. We have got to believe the word of God. And if you don't believe the word of God, that Jesus came and died for you, you'll never be saved. But honey, when you believe the word of God, then you can call on the one. You got to believe the word of God first. And also, you got to recognize the calling first. You can push that calling away. You can reject it. People say you can't. I believe you can. The hard shells will tell us, I mean, what you're called, honey, it's no way you can keep from being saved. You're going to get saved no matter what. I want you to know I don't believe that. I believe that you can push it away, and I believe there's people doing it here Sunday after Sunday. I believe that in all my heart. I believe there's people walk out of here every Sunday pushing God away, saying, I will not repent. I'm not going to get in front of people and pray. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to die and go to hell because you keep pushing God aside. That's what you're going to do. But listen, you don't have to do that. You can trust in the Savior. You can believe the report. I believe this church, Hilltop Church, not Jeff Likens, the Holy Spirit of God, Hilltop Church, I want you to know, is reaching out to you and saying, come. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting Jesus. You're rejecting His Word. You're rejecting the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know there's going to be a price. There's always a price for sin. Honey, I don't care if you're saved by God's grace. There's a price for sin. You sin, this whole body's going to pay for that sin. And there's going to be a price for you rejecting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, and the 13th verse says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren. Amen. Beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Listen, are you paying attention? Whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the word of God. I want you to know He's trying His best to call you through the word and the preaching of the word. He is foreordained not just for the Jews to be saved. He was talking to these Gentiles. It's been made. He gave Himself for the whole world, not only to the Jew, but also to the Greek. Everyone can be saved, but few are called. But many are called, but few are chosen. I want you to know He wants everybody to be saved. It is not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's the reason He set it up the way it did, that you would have a choice in this matter. And you keep rejecting it. Some of you Sunday after Sunday for years now. Some of you maybe just for a few weeks. Some of you may just today. God may be calling. If He's calling you right now, you better be seeking the Lord. Don't you worry about me giving an altar call, us singing a song, amen, or anything like that. You start praying. You can pray where you're at. You can come to this altar. Don't be ashamed to come, amen, to this altar. We talked about that last Sunday. But don't be ashamed to call on the name of the Lord. Call on Him. And you say, well, how do I call on Him? I want you to know I don't have no words to give you. Amen. I denied I got saved. I can't tell you a word I said, but for every bit of my being and within me, I believed I was a sinner. I believed I was going to hell, and I believed He was the only hope I had. And that night, from the depths of my heart, I called upon Him. I don't know nothing I said out loud. I don't know a word that I was thinking in my mind. I knew I needed Him, and He was the only hope I had. And when I got to that point, guess what? There He was. He was drawing me. He was calling me. And guess what I done? I started calling too. If you'll be nigh unto him, he'll be nigh unto you. That prodigal son, when he saw him, and when the father saw him breaking his way towards him, he ain't come. He was broken. I want you to know you got to be broken when you come to the Lord, whether you're saved or not. Honey, when you need him, go to him when you're broken, knowing that you need him more than anything. Amen. Honey, he started to him, and here comes the father. Wrapped his arm around and took him in. He said, get the fatted calf. Honey, he dressed him up. I want you to know he'll dress you. So whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once again, you're saying, how do I call? Surrender to him. You're fighting it. There's people come to the altar fighting it. They're trying every way in the world they can say they're safe. When you get to the point that you realize you can't save yourself, the preacher can't save you, this church can't save you, no one can save you but the Lord. And Lord, I'm yours. We say give him your heart. I want you to know he wants your heart. He wants you. He wants your mind. He wants every bit about you. He wants you to surrender to him. And when you get to the place that you want him more than you want anything else,
amen.
You want salvation more than you want anything else, you will call on him then from your heart, and I want you to know he will save your soul.
Amen.
That is the word of God. People say he won't save me. That's a lie.
That's right.
He'll save anybody that he is dealing with.
Amen.
But I'll say this. You're going to keep pushing it away that one of these days he won't deal with you. I've seen old people say, God, don't deal with me no more. Honey, it breaks their heart because they realize they've rejected him time and time again. Don't keep rejecting God.
Amen.
Honey, everybody come a time that when you're older and you're gray and death is growing closer, that you'll wish for him to begin to draw and begin to call, and he may not do it. You'll be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You'll say, well, what kind of God would do that? A just God.
Amen.
A just God that called you time and time again, and you pushed him away. You was too full of yourself to humble yourself in the sight of God. When he's broke your heart, he's crushed you and brought you to a place that you know that you're guilty. You've got nowhere else to go. He's even let you know hell's going to be your home. And you're going to live through eternity in torment. But yet you reject him. And you reject him again and again. That kind of God. A just God. The one that was satisfied when he saw his son. When they paid him and pulled the meat out of his back. And blood filled all around him. The one that hung on the altar. What he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? And it pleased him. Why did it please him? For your sake. That sin had to be, a price had to be paid for sin. That's what I'm telling you. There's always a price for sin. Ask him, he knows. He gave the ultimate price for sin. And every time you reject him, he sees it. And then he calls again. And you reject. There's his son. Realize what you are. I know what I am. Today I realized that I was able to take a cup of salvation. Today that he... I realize my cup runneth over with mercy and grace and love. And then I realize what his cup was full of.
It was full of every nasty thing I ever done. It was full of every time I ever rejected him. It was full of every sin, every child molester, everything nasty thing you can imagine in your mind. How did he took it? Then he let me drink of free of his grace, his love, his mercy. That's what I get. And then they say that God won't send nobody to hell. Well, that's no bigger lies ever been told. He said he'll cast you into a lake of fire. It ain't nobody but God himself going to do that. You're going to stand in front of him with no excuse whatsoever. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he's going to cast you into a lake of fire. And that's where will be the second death. And you shall spend eternity there. And it will be just.
Yes.
And there won't be a saint standing there think it's bad.
That's right.
You know why? Because we'll see things like he does then. We'll see things just. Mm-hmm. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. That means me. You just say, well, I'll just wait for a more convenient season. That's what King Agrippa said.
Yep.
No, that was that Felix or Festus. Wanted a more convenient season. As far as I know, that season never come around. He said he trembled. He heard the things to do with when it got to judgment, he said then he trembled. Hell ought to scare you. It does me, and I ain't even going. I preached a sermon on one time on how hot hell will be. You ever think about when God destroys all this? Listen to what I'm fixing to say to you. The sun, you can't get within, I forget how many miles, and you'll just melt. Guess what is going to happen to the sun? He's going to burn it. He's going to burn the sun that's on fire, and it's going to be gone. If he can burn the star and the suns, how hot can he make hell? Have you ever burnt yourself? I'll be out there. I'm silly. You can call me silly. I am silly. I wear Crocs. I believe that's what you call them. A whole lot around the house. I won't be comfortable, I guess. I'll go out there in the Hallelujah Chainsaw Shop with my Crocs on. I don't wear socks. Silly. I'll get my welder out. Silly. I'll start welding. Silly. Fire falls and goes down to the top of that Croc. Silly. I'm trying to get out of the Croc. I've got my four-wheel drive strap on. I'm trying to get... And honey, it's burning. Time you get it off, it's done red and a blister's coming. That ain't nothing. You'll live through eternity in a flame like I can't explain to you. We don't have no example. They say the over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to do with the fiery furnace, they say that's a picture of hell. It can be a picture. It's nothing like what hell is. Everybody around there, including the king, would have been burned. I'm telling you, I'm talking hot. And you'll never die. Never. Die. So if God's letting you know today, hell's going to be your home, that's part of the calling. That's part of the drawing. If he's letting you know today that he's calling you and saying you're guilty of his son dying, and that's the main calling because you are, that's the gospel. Hell ain't the gospel. The gospel's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you're guilty of. You're guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. And if he's dealing with you about that, you need to seek him. You say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it in front of all these people. You ain't got to. You can walk out of here, and I pray that he'll deal with you at home. You can get saved at home. Going down the road, you can get saved anywhere. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If he's dealing with you right now, he's calling right now. The calling works two different ways. He's first got a call, then you've got a call. When he calls you to a place of repentance, you better accept that phone call. You can see, Barry tells me all the time, I'll call down there and he says, I got that caller ID. If they don't answer the phone, I'll call back later and I'd say, you didn't answer the phone. He said, well, I got caller ID. You can avoid my phone call. Some of you do, I know. There won't be no price to be paid for that. I might tell Sheila, they're avoiding me. She don't care. There's going to be a big price to be paid. You know, you're going to know his ID when he calls. How do I know when God's calling? You're going to know. You ain't going to need me to tell you. And I'll tell you this, you won't need nobody to tell you when you received that call. And when you done the calling, you know what you got to do on the calling on another? You got to reference him as being Lord and Savior. You got to surrender to him to being Lord and Savior. I'm fixing to be done. My brother, we was in a tent meeting, and he'd been saved years before. I'd never heard him testify. I never had heard him pray. I'd never seen no fruits amount to anything, but I knew he'd been saved. He told me his testimony. But we was in the tent meeting, and Marty called on him to dismiss. And I was scared to death. I was just like, for him. And he got up, stood up, and he said, I said, please, God, help him. And he said, Lord. If that's all he'd said, that'd been good enough for me. Because he referenced him for who he was. But he went on and thanked him for saving his soul. I would not take nothing for that. Honey, I would not take nothing for the night he called me. When I went to walk out of that church and the little sister sitting there made eye contact with me and the call of God set it on me and I realized I was lost and separated, he began to draw me. And I began trying my best to leave. And honey, I knew if I left, and I believe this, and you need to believe it too. I believe if I left that night, hell would have been my home. I believe that was my opportunity. I did not want to waste it. Honey, you need to believe that. You may say, yeah, Brother Jeff, they may have 1,000. They may have 1,000 more times, but I'm here to tell you. Right now is the time-appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't push him away. Don't walk out them doors today without God. Don't drive out that parking lot today without God. If God is calling, call on him. Because godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. This could be it. This could be the last call. This may be the last time you'll stand in front of this preacher. Don't let it be your last opportunity. Waste it. Don't waste the call from God. I wasted my call to preach for 8 years. Oh, I'd give to go back and change that. How much blood is on my hands? How much am I answered for today? I tell you, I stand in front of you today broken because of it. But I know this. Now when he calls, he says, you do this and you do that. I don't care if I study something for a month and the last minute he says, no, you preach this. I say, yay, Lord. You know better than I do, Lord. He knows what's best for you today. That's why he's calling you. He loves you. He loves you. much he gave his son. He loves you so much that he's calling, trying to draw you to a place that he can save your soul. Because nothing else but because he just loves you. He loves you enough to put something like me in front of you to stand up in. He loves you enough to make sure this church is set here on this hill. He loves you enough that you can be here today. Nothing just happens. This ain't an accident. And he knew today who would be here. He knew this church would be here. He knew he was going to call me before he knew me, before he formed me in my mother's womb. That's what he told Jeremiah. And I want you to know he knew you. He made the way for you. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go there at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few be that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Right now, there's many being called. I have no idea. This right here are going to web some kind of inner web and be sent around the world. It's no telling how many could be called. Heath preaches to people every Sunday. Leanne makes sure of it. She puts it on Facebook every Sunday morning. His messages still go out there. Many are still being called, but few. Why only few chosen? Why? Why, Teresa? He gave it for the world, but only a few will answer the call. Only a few will believe the gospel. Only a few. How can they call on whom they didn't believe? If you don't believe it, you can't call. So I'm asking you today, do you believe it?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about with a mind belief. I'm talking about with everything within you, your heart, soul, you've got to believe. And when you truly believe, honey, he'll save your soul.
Amen.
When you truly call, the call from the call that he give you, he'll save your soul. That's the word of God. It ain't my word. It's the gospel. He'll save you. That's the little message. People say, I'm not going to beg. I don't care to beg. That's what I've been doing for 30 minutes. I've been begging and pleading with you for 30 minutes to believe. The report. I've stretched out my arms to a gainsaying people that don't believe. So I'm going to beg you one more time today. If God is dealing with you, seek the Lord. You say, well, I've never done it before. We all went the first time. My wife got saved within 10 minutes of the time he called her. That's a blessing. You can be too. You don't have to go to this altar 500 times to get saved. You got to go one time when he's calling you with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and trust in him, and he'll save your soul. Go ahead with your song. As we stand and sing, if you're here today, Marty sings a song, oh, sinner, don't wait. Don't wait today. Come, seek the Lord.